Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Let's talk a little bit this evening and see how much we can do. We've got a lot to discuss, you know, through this Easter period. So let's just do a little bit this evening and see how much we will be able to cover. I'm going to start from Genesis, just trying to introduce us to the fall of man and what the fall of man brought about and how God decided to restore, you know, man, you know, ransomed man, and has given us the life. This life that was saying Christ is our life. What does it mean to say he's our life? What does it say? What does it mean to say this person is my life? That means I can't live without him. I can't survive without him. Life makes no sense without him. Are we here together, church? So when God created man in the Garden of Eden, let's just do a little breakdown. Man had the God kind of life. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, we're going to do a lot of reading here and there, so I need somebody very fast, fast finger on the laptop, just help us mix the scriptures very well today. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, and male and female created he them. Man was created in whose image? The image of God. So the man that God made in the Garden of Eden was supposed to be seen as a God man. Are we here together now? It was a prototype of God on the face of the planet Earth. God designed man to rule on Earth the way he was ruling in heaven. The Bible says the earth he has made for the sons of men. He decided to stay here on Earth. He decided to put man here on Earth so that he will rule in heaven. And that means that he relinquished the responsibility, handed over the responsibility of taking care of planet Earth to Adam, so that he will take over heaven. Are we here together? So the kind of man that will rule the face of the earth will not be an ordinary man. It has to be a man in the image and the likeness of God. But in Genesis chapter 3, we see the devil crept into the garden. Can you put it in now? Genesis chapter 3 from verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read it first. Now the serpent was more cunning than the beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you do what? Die." In other words, if you disobey the command of God, touch the tree or eat it, he said you will eat the tree, you will do what? Die. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." Up until that time, Adam did not know evil. He was just a being that understood good. Are we here together? He knew just good. Everything Adam knew was good. He had never known forbidden knowledge. He had not had interaction with angels or any spirits to explain anything to him. So he just knew good. And that was beautiful because God wanted him to know good. Just because the Bible says everything that God had done was good. So it was good that God wanted them to know. But the devil came and he made a mess of some things here in the garden. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. In other words, something had left man. Man was stripped of his glory. Are we here together? The covering that man had in the Garden of Eden is called what? The Shekinah glory. It's the glory of God that covers. It's like a cloud. So that when Adam put on his own cloud, Eve on her own cloud, they weren't seeing their nakedness. They were in a cloud. Are we here together, church? So they couldn't see that. So they were just pure in their own eyes, looking at each other pure. But somewhere along the line, the Bible says the eyes of both of them were naked, open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God. Write it down. The first thing that man did as soon as he sinned was to hide himself from God. And that's why when you see people trying to hide themselves from God, it is a sign that there is something hidden in their hearts. It is a sign that there is something locked in their hearts. It's a sign of a separation. They want to distance themselves from God. And God is saying, come, let us reason together. Are we here together, church? Is anybody getting my gist tonight? So the first thing they did was to hide from the presence. In other words, there was the presence of God that engulfed them every time they had fellowship. Why did God create man? God wanted fellowship. God wanted communion. God wanted koinonia. God wanted intimacy with man. So he made a being that would be able to relate with him at his level, in his image and in his likeness. I want us to be able to relate. I want us to have quality fellowship. And that was why God made man. But the devil saw it and didn't like it. The devil didn't want it. The devil knew that, of course, you know, something had gone wrong already and Lucifer had been cast down, so he wasn't even comfortable with his position as a fallen angel. There are demons everywhere, but he showed up in that garden that day and he wanted to truncate the plan and the purpose of God. And that's what he's been doing. Even after then, that's what he's been doing. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking for who to do what? Devour. Glory to God. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord in the garden among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called to Adam and said, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Who told you? How did you get that information? Because the last time I checked, I kept it away from you. I kept it away from you. It was not something you were supposed to know about. I didn't want you to know about the fact that you were naked because I covered you. A cloud of glory was all around you. How come you have now known that you are naked? Have you taken from the tree of which I commanded you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me. In other words, it was a deception. Are we here together now? And that is still the strategy of Satan till tomorrow, going all over the face of the earth. Today, he's still deceiving people, telling them all manner of lies. Everything. The Bible says, Jesus, speaking about the devil, he said he has been a liar from the beginning. From the beginning, he's been a liar. Liar. So the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between the woman and between your seed and her seed. Between your seed and her, what can you see there? Between your seed and her, what can you see? What can you see? Very good. You must look in between the lines. I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed. Her seed not as Cain and Abel. No. Because Jesus is the one that will bruise the head of the serpent. Are we here together? The Bible says in Revelation that his feet is as bronze. And bronze is the symbol of judgment. He will judge the serpent. I put enmity between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heal. Turn to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be to rule over your husband. Did you understand that? Your desire shall be for your husband. The real translation there is, your desire will be to now rule over your husband. But eventually he will rule over you. Let's not go into that. Let's get back to our discussion. Now be a discussion for another day. Amen. So, but in Genesis chapter 3, we see everything that happened here because man fell by choice. So what exactly happened at the fall of man? Number one, the fall of man resulted in spiritual death. Write it down. Spiritual death, physical death. Two things, physical death and spiritual death. Physical death is the separation of the human body from the spirit. That's physical death. When a person dies physically, it means that the body is separated from the spirit. If they say somebody is dead now, it means that the body is lying there and the spirit has left. But how did that happen? Because it didn't look like it. It didn't look like the day that thing happened, they died. But I've been teaching, and I also mentioned to those in the school of ministry recently, that they actually died. They did. They died. Because man was supposed to live on the face of planet Earth for about 1,000 years. And 1,000 years will be one day. So when in human calendar it is 1,000, God will say day one. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Do you know what you, I hope you understand what 1,000 is. It's not 10, no. It's not 100, no. It's not like 500, no. It is 500 times 2. And the highest any man ever lived was 969. That means nobody lived up to one day. In the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. In the book of Peter, he said a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day in the sight of God. 1,000 years as a day in the sight of God. So when we live here on the face of earth for 1,000 years, in God's own chronological order, his calendar, he's just seen one. Are we here together? And that's why sometimes when there are some things that you are thinking, it's taking time, it's taking time. Glory to God. Look at it now. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So the plan of God was that man will live for 1,000 years in his time, and he will be 1 year old in God's time. Then when man is 1 year old with God, after he has stayed on earth, God, man will not die. Are you hearing that? The same thing that happened to Enoch, and what happened to Elijah, a chariot will show up and they will be taken. So everybody, you just get 1,000, we take you. 1,000, we take you. So there was no plan for death. Man was not supposed to face death. That was the original plan. But as soon as sin came in, physical death became imminent. So every man tried very hard. Methuselah lived the longest, 969. And why he lived up to that 969 years was because God wanted to destroy the world, but God was waiting to see if he will get somebody that will make intercession strong enough and man will repent. Then he would cease from his plan to destroy the world. And Enoch was chosen somehow. He did a lot of work here and there, but the men were not repenting. Men began to have interaction with watchers, angels that came to judge the affairs of men. The babes began to cut eye for the angels, and the angels fell. Fear woman. Hallelujah. Hey. The angels could not resist. Who are you, oh man? Glory to God. Because somehow these angels, the Bible says, the sons of God, they saw the daughters of men that they were fair. In other words, they saw the creation of God, and the angels were like, Kai. And you know, these guys are supposed to be beings that would not be able to have access to women. But somehow, the Bible says, they left their position. If you read the book of Jude and Peter, the Bible says, they refused to stay in their place of honor. They brought themselves, lowered themselves, and they began to interact with ladies. And they started having strange children. Genesis chapter 6, they started giving birth to Nephilims, giants on the face of the planet Earth. And these guys were becoming so hard and ferocious to deal with, they could eat a whole planet. And God said, if we continue like this, everything will be finished. There's no food, no vegetation, nothing. Because these beings were becoming so hard, so bad. They were growing in size. They were not normal giants. They were giants that kept growing. Because of course, you know, there is something about the chromosomes of the angels and the human chromosome joining together. The combination was not okay. So God said, this is not my plan. Never. With the flood of Noah, God wiped all of them out. And he started exactly the same thing he said to Noah. Yes, there were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Are we here together, church? Just follow me, listen. I know why I'm just trying to introduce this to you so that we can understand, you know, the extent of man's fall. So in the garden of God called Noah, and Noah entered a covenant with God. He built an ark after God told him to build the ark. And successfully, when Noah had completed the ark, his family was saved. The demons and the rest of them, the Nephilims, all wiped off from the face of the planet Earth. And the same thing God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 1. The same thing, exactly the same thing. When you go see it now. Go to verse Noah. Where's chapter Noah? Chapter Noah. Go to chapter 8, let's see. Chapter 8, let me see chapter 8. Chapter 8, 1. Just do chapter 8, 1, let's see. Noah. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the animals that were with him in the ark, and made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was what? Restrained. You know, like that, the waters receded continually from the earth, and at the end of the 150 days, the waters decreased. Then Noah entered a covenant with God, you know, and the Bible says this, go ahead, verse, move on to verse 8. Let me see. I want to see the same thing God said to Adam. Okay, verse 10, let's see. I didn't plan to read it, it just came to my head right now. So let's just do it. And he waited yet another 7 days, and again he sent the dove out of the ark. Then the dove came down to him. Start searching somebody so that you get where he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish yet again. Then the dove came to him in the evening. Behold, the fleshy plucked olive leaf and was in her mouth. And Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. So he waited yet another 7 days and sent out the dove, which did not return again to him anymore. And it came to pass in the 600th year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried from the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was what? Dry. And the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Verse what? 17. Is that not? Okay, let's move on. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, go out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and your daughters, your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing, flesh that is with you, bird and cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth, so that they may abound in the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. Exactly the same thing. So it shows that God wiped off the whole of the human race and started a fresh one with Adam, with Noah and his children. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Then you can now have dominion. You can now subdue. Because the first Adam and all the people I created, they have messed up everything. Now you are part of the seed of Adam, but you are the preserved seed. And I'm starting afresh with you. Be fruitful and multiply. But yet we know that death is imminent. Man must die. Are we here together now? Because he even lowered it from 900 and something years. God didn't even allow them to stay up to 500 again. 200 was becoming a big issue. They eventually came somewhere around 120. Are we here together? 120. Why? Because man had fallen. It should show you the level of man's fall, from the expectation of 1,000 to 120. In fact, 70. The way it is. When people say, oh, the man lived 70, so I tried. Imagine. When human beings were living 900, now a man is living 70, and we say he tried. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? It shows that we have accepted something that is so low, shallow. We have come to that point where 120 has become so okay. We are okay with it. Even 70, we are saying, yeah, I tried. That's not the expectation. For all have sinned and they have fallen short of what? The glory of God. The glory of God was the height, the weight, the splendor and the beauty that God had for man. But when man fell, he fell short of the glory of God. Are we here together, church? Am I communicating? So man sinned and physical death happened. Then spiritual death. Spiritual death now is separation from God. Spiritual death is different from physical death. Physical death, your body has just left, your spirit has just left your body. But in spiritual death, you are separated from your source. Why it is there? Why? The reason it is death is because in God, you have life. Away from God, you are dead. Man without God is what? Dead. Man without God has no life. Don't worry, I'm going to show you as I build you. You know why the theme this year is Christ our life. Are we here together? So the big problem is that we reconnect. If we do not reconnect with God in any way, man will not only be separated from God, he will be eternally separated. That's the worst. Temporary separation is something, because at that point Adam was temporarily separated from God. He was spiritually dead, physically dead. But if nothing is done, they will be eternally separated from God, and that is doom That is darkness. That is where Satan is now, and he has no hope. That is where every single person that has died in their sin without accepting Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior, that is their condition now. They are eternally separated from God. Sir, eternal separation from God. Eternal. You know what eternal is? That means they will not have the privilege, opportunity in this world or another world, a thousand world, a million world, to be connected with God again. They are gone for life. You need to know the extent of man's fall. This is a man that came out from God. But because of the sin of disobedience, man fell. Physical death showed up. Spiritual death showed up. And if there is no reconnection, eventually it becomes what? Eternal death. Eternal death. But what was the original purpose? Man's purpose was fellowship, communion with God. Romans chapter 11 verse... Is it Romans 11:36? Let's look at it. Romans 11:36, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Let's do 1 Corinthians 6:20. Let me see. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Let's just look at it. So you need to know your purpose. You need to know why God created you. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? God's. You belong to who? God. That's the original plan. You'll be born with the Christ, the man that has been reconnected with God right now. In Psalm 89 verse 9, check what the Bible says there. Psalm 89 verse 9. Please just follow me carefully. We're going somewhere. Psalm 89 verse 9. You rule. Is that what you want? Let me see. Is it Psalm 89? Let me see. Psalm 89. Is that where you just opened? Okay, do 1 Corinthians 10:31. Let me see. 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's something I'm trying to hit at. I want to hit at the purpose of man. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. In other words, you were created so that your life will bring glory to who? To God. That's the original plan. That's the original purpose. Anything outside that is deviation from the original plan. If you are living now and you're not living a life that is glorifying God, it is deviation from the original plan. And I told you already that man without God is dead. You see that in Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3. Let's read it together. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3. Man without God is dead. And you, he made alive. Everybody, let's read it together. I want to go now. Can we read loud and clear? Once you go. Who were what? So man, naturally, the natural man is what? Dead in trespasses and what? Then God made him alive. The only reason you are making alive because it was once dead. You only make alive something that is dead. Every man without Christ is dead. Every man without Christ is dead. Don't try to figure it out. That is a separation from God is death. Because he is life. The Bible says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So any man without him is dead, is in darkness and dead. They are dead, they have no life. The Bible says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of what? Disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. We were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. The Bible says he made us alive. Ah, what a privilege. So we were dead, and God considered to make us alive. John chapter 10 verse 10 will show something. John chapter 10 verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not but to do what? But Jesus has come that what will happen? Jesus has come that will have what? And have it how? So the only reason he comes to give life is because we do not have life. So he's offering us life. That's what he's offering us. Christ our life. Jesus is offering you life. Everybody that is outside there that is not born again, he's bringing the offer. And you and I that have received Christ, he has given us life. You has it quickened. He has quickened us. The word quicken is to reanimate, to give life to something that is dead. Are we here together? And that's why no man can brag before God. It's such a privilege and honor that we have found Jesus. Man became a slave and a prisoner to God's enemy, Satan. And Satan began to rule over man. Satan became the God of this world. Satan kept all of us as slaves under the dominion of Satan. We were dead. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 26, you will see that. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 26. He says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of what? The devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Every man without Christ is taken captive. Every man without Christ is a slave. Every man without Christ is under the dominion of Satan. If you read the Bible also, he says he has translated us. In other words, those of us who have believed, he translated us. You know what it means to translate? To move from one place to another. To relocate. To reposition. To change your state. I want you to know who you are. I want you to understand what we're talking about here, because it will change everything. Now, when you get to know these things, it will affect the way you think. It will affect the way you behave. It will affect the way you act. You will know that the new life you have now is not cheap. The new life you have now is not cheap. It's a different life. It's a different life. I'll show you the three kinds of life and tell you the one that you have shortly. We're going to get there. So God decided to save man. He gave man life. That means he reconnected man to his source. How many of us have seen a branch before? If you cut a branch from the vine, it begins to die. True or false? Then through the process of grafting, you have seen people connect a particular branch from another source to the one that has life, then it begins to live. Is that not? So that if a bitter tree, we did that thing in agriculture then, is connected to a vine that has a sweet orange, the one that was bitter will lose its bitterness. Is that not? Then the fruits that it produces now will become what? Sweet. No wonder Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, you are the branches. That means anyhow you come, if you connect to me, you will get my life. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? I am the vine. So I am that sweet life source. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know your background. I don't know your mother. I don't know your bloodline. I don't know the sickness that is prevalent. I don't know the gods and the idols that you serve. He said, but if you connect to the branch, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, if you connect to me, you have life, and you have it how? Abundantly. That's why I'm not afraid of what happens in my bloodline. That's why I'm not afraid of the family I came from. Because the family that I came from, everything is neutralized when you connect to Jesus. See, what makes this thing real is that understanding. It might have happened, but if you don't understand it, you will suffer the fate of others. In this kingdom, you rule by the opening of your eyes. That is why he said, open down my eyes, oh God, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. If God has given something and you are not aware of it, you can suffer like every other person that does not have it. One of the things I want to achieve in this meeting is to help open the eyes of people so that you can see what you have. I have it. The life of God. I have the life of God. I have the life of God. The indestructible life. Eternal life is at work in me. The life that cannot perish. This is the life that I have. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying here? Can you say to yourself, this is the life that I have. The life that is indestructible. The life that does not perish. The life that is eternal. Immortality is at work in my being. Glory to God. Know it. Walk with this consciousness. Walk with this consciousness. That's the consciousness you walk with, regardless of whatever the devil is saying. The devil comes to your ear and he says, can you see what happened to your father? What happened to your mother? Can you see the fate of all human? I am not part of all human. I'm not. We relocated. Him has he translated me from where? From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of what? Light. In other words, darkness does not control my life again. Darkness does not determine how my life will go. In him was life. The life was the light of men. That's the light that I carry right now. Most importantly, he said when he was on the earth, he's the light of the world. He said, now I am the light of the world. How will light be suffering from darkness? No way. Because where there's light, darkness cannot stand. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? You need to know that. You need to know that. Don't allow any devil. He said, I have come that they will have life. In other words, what they lack is what? Life. What they need is what? Life. What we needed when we were lost in sin, when we were separated from God, the exact thing that we needed was what? Life. We needed life. If you look at the book of Genesis, when God made the dust and he breathed into man, and man became what? A living soul. In other words, without that breath of God, man will not be a living soul. Are we here together now? So when the separation happened, man is now dead. The only thing about the death of this man now is that he still walks around, but he's what? Dead. He's just walking around. He's a living corpse. So when Jesus came, what he decided to do was to give us life. He came to give us life. I have come that they will have life. Are you getting what I'm saying? And there are three kinds of life in the New Testament. Number one, we have the bios life. Bios. You see the bios in John chapter 8 verse 14. Put it, let me show us. Please know that I'm teaching. We'll get somewhere. Then we crescendo. We'll close for tonight. Then we'll continue to build it up like that. Luke chapter 8 verse 14. He said, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, and I know whence I came and whether I go. But he cannot tell whence I came and where I do what? Where I go. No, look. You are in John. Luke chapter 8 verse 14. And that which fell among the thorns, they which, when they had heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. That's bios. Pleasures of this life. And bringing no fruits to perfection. So there is the natural life that you have. It's called what? Bios. The one that your mother and your father succeeded to give you. They gave you what kind of life? Bios. And with bios naturally comes the second kind of life that is called psyche. Now that psyche is soul life. Because whenever a child is born into this world, you are brought into this world, then you cry out, ah, bios. You begin to grow and your life is animated. Consciousness, your soul opens up. Are we here together now? Your soul opens up, and that one is called psyche. That is the soul life. You see it in Matthew chapter 16 verse 25, in John chapter 10 verse 11. The next one, just after he told us about John 10:10, he also talked about John 10:11. Two verses, then he used life, but different life. So let's read John chapter 10, then I'll pick the other life. John chapter 10 verse 10. John chapter 10 verse 10. The thief does not come except to do what? And to do what? But I have what? That they might have. See this life now. That they might have what? This life is Zoe. It's different. It spells life. That's why we said the Greek and the Hebrew, they have rich language. So that one word is used, but if you go to the etymology of that word, the root meaning of that word, you will find its own unique meaning in that sentence. Anybody would have called this thing normal. No, he said, I have come, my own coming. When I come, I don't bring bios, because your mother has the ability to give bios. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So man and woman can come together and produce life, is that not? Because that is the ability that God has put into man to reproduce life. But the kind of life that man can give at best is what? Bios. Man cannot give Zoe. Zoe comes from one source. And that's why when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again. But Nicodemus said, but I have been born. He said, yes, you have bios. Now I will give you Zoe. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because three kind of life must be found in every man. Psyche, bios, Zoe. But man can live with bios and psyche without Zoe. That man does not have the life of God. But the man who has bios, psyche and what? Zoe. That man is a different man. He's not just an ordinary man. That's why when you see the man who has the life of God inside of them, you don't just look at them as ordinary. He said, we do not know men according to the flesh. You can't judge that man. You can't. He said, he himself judgeth all things, but he is not judged. Why? There is a new substance of life that is at work in him. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The awakening of this life, this consciousness, this understanding. When you walk in your office, when you go to your business space, when you live your life every day with this consciousness, there are certain things you will not tolerate in your space. You will not tolerate certain things in your space. You will say, no, I'm not ordinary. I'm not just an ordinary man. Others can accept it, but I will not accept it. Why? The greater one lives inside of me. The life of God is at work in me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at John chapter 10 verse 10 there. Go back there. Let's do this fast. John chapter 10. He said, but I have come that they may have what? Zoe. And that they might have it how? Abundantly. That means they will have Zoe in abundance. In abundance, rather. Then go to verse 11. Verse 11 now. I am the good shepherd. He said, the good shepherd giveth his life. For what? The good shepherd giveth his what? Life. The life here now. Is it Zoe? No. Because this one can perish. But the other life does not perish. Are you getting what I'm saying now? This one now, he can give it off and it is gone for life. Are we here together? So God is calling us to come to the place where we understand when Jesus saved us through his death, his burial and resurrection, he gave us Zoe. You has he quickened and has made alive. We were made alive with the life of God. It was not the same life that your father and your mother put inside of you that you had when you came to Jesus Christ. When you made that confession and said, Lord Jesus, today I accept you. Listen, you were not just accepting Jesus. He was depositing his life inside of you. He was depositing his life inside of you. So that the day you made that confession and you step out of that place, the Bible says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Because this one is not just born of the mother. This one is not just born of the will of the flesh. He said, this one is born of God. This one was created from heaven. This is a brand new species. This one is untouchable. This one cannot die cheap. When this one closes his eye in death, it transcends into eternal glory. The destination of this one is not something you are predicting. It's not something you are guessing. No, it is predictable. If you have him now, you are translated to meet him later. I'm not thinking of my afterlife. Where will I go after life? After life, when I have eternal life. Don't you understand? Some people are still guessing their afterlife. And you know, we don't know what will happen in afterlife. We don't know what is afterlife. Me, I have what? Eternal life. So we don't even die, we close our eyes. You know, Jesus was speaking to them about Lazarus one day, and he said, let us go and wake him up, for he sleepeth. That's why the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise. Why? They are sleeping. Oh, you don't understand. Did you understand this thing? So when you see a person who knows God, the Bible says all those who died in Christ. Now he had to use the word death because human beings will not understand. They will now say, you are speaking above our head. So he had to speak so that they will understand. Because the first time when Jesus said, he said, Lazarus is sleeping. He said, if he's sleeping, it's okay. Let's leave him. Let him continue to sleep. He now said, you guys are humans. Let me bring it to human language. In other words, in the language of the heavens, when believers sleep, when believers die, they don't see them as dead. They see them as what? Sleeping. Why? Because Zoe cannot die. No, he will never die. Zoe will never die. As soon as that happens, Zoe moves. The body gets corrupt. Then one day, at the last trump, all the dead bodies that are in the Atlantic Ocean, all the dead bodies that died in World War I, World War II, anyone that was born again, the Bible says mortality, we put on immortality. There will be a quickening. They will go back. Why? Because that Zoe life has to give life to that mortal body and give it its new original kind of frame. It will never leave it. Thou shalt not suffer your Holy One to see corruption. No man who has met with Christ will ever see corruption again. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Hey, the Bible says we are born of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. It cannot be corrupted. This life that I have cannot be corrupted. Hey, never. No devil can do anything about it. You know, you have a laptop, and when you're using your laptop, something happens and there's a virus. And because of the virus, you have to format. Is that not? But this kind of life, you cannot put any virus. Because when the upgrade took place, virus attacked Adam 0.1. But the last Adam, this one was given life. That one was made a life-giving spirit. Do you know the difference here? This one came and they gave this one life. He will take life. But this one, when he came, he was giving life. And that is why, do you know as you are now, you are a life giver. You are, that's what... I'm a life dispenser. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, whoever sin you remit, they are remitted. Whoever you give life, they have life. See, if I want somebody to have eternal life today, tomorrow, now, all I need to do is to go to the streets. That's all I need to do. All I need to do is go to the streets and look for somebody and have conversation with them and say, now, I want to give you life. I want to give you life. Such as I have, give I unto you. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? When you come to this realization and this understanding, then you start confronting your family, your business, your career, because that same life has the ability to translate its supernatural workings in every area of your being. Every area of your being. Don't allow anybody lie to you. Don't allow anything in your family scare you. Never. It can stop others, but I'm unstoppable. Can you stop a spirit? The wind blew where it listed, and no man knows the direction of the wind. So is a man of the spirit. I say, we're going to stop you. He? Where did you do that meeting that you conclude you will stop me? Why? Because the last time I checked, I'm unstoppable. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? You can't box me. Have you ever seen anybody box a spirit? Say, let's hold the spirit and put the spirit in prison. And no, you can't put that kind of spirit. It's just pass like wall. Just pass and it's out. That is how your life is now in Christ. And that is why I said it is Christ's life at work in us. Everywhere you go, go with that consciousness. Where you're moving around, come around with that consciousness. The Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. There is a glory ahead. There is a glory now, and there's a coming glory. The glory that is in now, I am enjoying it now. Why? You know why? Hey, God, how do I explain this? Everything that Jesus was to his disciples, the Holy Spirit is to us now. And he says that when Jesus told them, I have given you power, he was not talking from the standpoint of who they used to be. He was talking based on the fact that I know what you are now. I know that Zoe is now at work in you. So he said, tread upon serpents and upon scorpion. A normal man cannot go about talking like that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say now? A normal person cannot just go about talking anyhow like that. Satan will crush the person's head. But Jesus Christ spoke like that, and he gave us the same authority. Why? He was looking at the fact that what I have invested in you is what I am demanding from you. What God calls for is what he has put inside of you. If God says you can do something, it's because he knows he has put the ability inside of you to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? So when he says you should conquer the world, he said, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that already has Jesus, that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And he says, you are that world overcomer. Somebody say, I'm a world overcomer. The life of God is at work in me. I am a world overcomer. Are you understand what I'm saying tonight? It's not just a regular meeting. You just, you know, pray and just shout amen. You know, no, you need to get it. You need to get it. You need to catch something from here. The believer has eternal life. Now, this is how I put it here. I said the believer has eternity in time-bound bodies. This, your body is bound by time, is that not? But now that you are born again, you have eternity inside, is that not? That's the reason why when this body drops, the eternal body does not drop. The eternal body is alive. So while you are alive, the Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead be in you, that means since that eternal life, that Zoe life is inside of you now, it can also give life to your mortal body. You understand what I'm saying? That means it can vitalize. It can be like a multivitamin to your body. So you can be weak now, eh? And because you want to draw strength, you don't have to always draw strength from a multivitamin or a supplement. There's nothing wrong with taking supplements and multivitamins. But it's trying to say that the life of God inside of you has the ability to provide the supplement. God. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know what he was saying? He's saying that the strength with which I fight is not the strength of a mortal. God is the strength of my life. So if I hit you one blow, you will fall like a God hits you. So when David is fighting in battle, he's not fighting like a mortal that I'm hitting people and watching whether they will die or not. No, if I blow you one, you will die. Because the Lord is the strength of my life. The strength with which I fight is not the strength of mortals. I am not running with horsemen. I'm a spirit. He understood that from the Old Testament. And that is why Sir David never lost a single battle. How? By the power of revelation. Open down my eyes, O God, that I may behold. And when he saw it, he lived the life. Make up your mind that that's the life you will live. Make up your mind and say, I live an undefeated life. It is not possible for me to be defeated. They say this is the particular thing. You see, because it is cancerous, it usually flows from mother to daughter. It is diseases. It flows from father to son. No, the Lord is the strength of my life. Everything has shifted. My life is not powered by my blood. My life is powered by the Spirit of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The natural man, the life of the flesh is in the blood. The supernatural man can use the spirit to power blood into himself. That's it. You can power it. You can power it. And that's the reason why somebody is sick. Prayers are made. Then the person gets healed. Then the liver or the kidney that they did test, and they say it was 45% or 70% gone. They now got healed. Then they said he has the kidney or liver of a brand new baby. How did it happen? Did the doctor put any injection? Yeah, the life-giving power is there. Have you forgotten that it is this life that created man in the first place? If he created man, does he not have enough spare parts? Can he not change anything he wants to change? I came to announce to somebody under the sound of my voice, by this revelation, everything that needs life, everything that needs power inside of your being, I command right now, receive life in the name of Jesus. Receive life in the name of Jesus. You must learn to speak to yourself. Somebody say, Pastor, I don't have retentive memory. I said, no, I know all things. Christ has been made unto me wisdom. I have a photographic memory. I remember things. I don't have loss of memory because Christ has been made unto me wisdom. That is the life now. That's the life now. Jesus did not die for fun, so that at the end of the day, he just died, then we'll just be looking like that. No. He has died and is risen back to life. He has given us the life. The quickening spirit is inside of you. The activating force is inside of you. The power that makes things happen is inside of you. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? That's why we can stand from one standpoint and we stretch our hands. No contact. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? And we say, let the power of God move now. And somebody far, somebody outside Nigeria will connect. And you are hearing, sometimes you are hearing the chair scatter. And you say, you are wondering what is happening. What is happening? You say, Pastor, I lost consciousness. Even from here, no barrier with God. No barrier with God. Distance is not a barrier. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here right now? So I speak to everyone, wherever your father is, your mother is, your brother is, your sister is, this life-giving spirit, I declare right now, whatever the solution they need, it is transferred in the name of Jesus. It is transferred in the name of Jesus. It is transferred in the name of Jesus. The centurion said, only speak. Only speak. I know that wherever my servant is, he'll be healed right now. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus did not come to heal the sick. They wanted him to come and heal the sick, but he had planned to raise the dead. So he waited extra days and Lazarus died. So they were thinking that now that Lazarus is dead, all hope is lost. How can you say hope is lost to the one who gives hope? Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? He said, hope is lost. The lady was now consoling herself. He said, I know that on the last day, he will rise again. Last day, I am the beginning and the end. If I am the end, can I not step in time and do what I want to do? So he said, roll away the stone. And they were watching. He said, roll away the stone. Immediately they went there and they rolled the stone. Lazarus was already decayed. But there is a life that has the ability to inject supernatural life into Lazarus. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. So he that was dead for 4 days, the Bible says he came out with his grave clothes. He came out. So the maggots heard the voice of Jesus. Corruption heard the voice of Jesus. Decadence heard the voice of Jesus. Every wound that has refused to dry in your belly, in your leg, on your leg, I declare wherever it is right now, hear the voice of Jesus. I command you right now, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. This understanding can change everything. And when the devil comes around and he says, no, it is not God, tell him, shut up, Satan, for greater is he that is in me. God is inside here. The Holy Ghost is inside here. Just like a bottle that has oxygen, sometimes there is a shaking inside of you. So you see people shaking sometimes, you're wondering why. It's like a bottle with oxygen. It's shaking so much, healing the sick, delivering the oppressor. Everything that needs to be there will be there, and what should not be there will come out. Now I decree, come out in the name of Jesus. The life-giving spirit. It's a life-giving spirit. Why do you seek for the living among the dead? If he brought other people back to life, will he not bring himself back to life? Someone entered the grave, and for the first time, as he entered the grave, the keeper of the gate left the gate. He said, where is the gate man? He said, how can I be the gate man when he that owns life and death has entered the place of the dead? I can't hold key. Immediately, and they said, take the key, sir. He handed over the key. He said, who is the keeper of all the prisoners? Jailer, show up. And jailer said, who am I? When you close a door, it's closed. When you open a door, it's open. Anyone you open, if I see your presence, all the doors are open. And he said, all prisoners, come out. And the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that were written against us. He made an open show of principalities and powers, and he triumphed over the devil. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he began to call them by their name one by one, and he told them to come out. The day his blood touched the ground, saints were coming out. In the city of Jerusalem, they said they saw saints walking around the town. The saints were marching. The saints could not stay where they used to be before. Grave could not hold them, because the author of life had entered the grave. Every grave experience in any family under the sound of my voice, every grave experience in every home here, I declare, come alive in the name of Jesus. It's a glorious life, the resurrection life, the resurrection life. The life-giving force of God is at work in me. Rise up on your feet, begin to put your hand here. The life-giving force of God is here. He's at work in me, on my inside, on my inside. God is here, God is here, God is here. Christ is my life, Christ is my life, Christ is my life. He kalaba shana managabara baba baba baba. Ereko seketelebo shandeleba ya. Erika babai 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 ba. Elemeneko seketelebo shade. Christ is my life. Satan, you have lost the battle. Satan, you have failed. I know who I am. I am carrying the life of God. I am carrying the life of God. Zoe is at work here. Elepe nemeneko shaka papaya. Araga baba 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 baba. I have no business with inferiority complex. No way. No way. Hey. No way. I cannot live a life that is packed with inferiority complex, because the greater one is inside of me. The glorious life is at work here. I know who I am. Can you go ahead and pray? Can you go ahead and pray? Activate, activate, activate. Don't stop praying. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost vigorously. You are staying up that life. 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 Hey, kala baba baba baba. While we await the translation of our bodies, right now we can start activating that power. We don't have to wait until the rapture. The sick can be healed. Demons can be cast out. Hey, place a demand on the life. There's a life-giving force inside of you. The life-giving force is here. You are living your life from the Zoe, not from Bios. You are living from Zoe, not from Bios. I'm living from Zoe. I'm living from Zoe. I'm living from Zoe. This life that I have is the life of God in me. You just go ahead and pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. Say, God, I am conscious of this life. I am conscious of this life. I am not ordinary. I am conscious of this life. The life of God is in me. The life of God is in me. The life of God is in me. Just go ahead and pray. Don't stop. Don't don't stop. Don't stop.
It's the life of God.
There's a level of intensity.
This life
of prayer. The life of God at work inside of you is tiered. Everything that does not glorify Him, they will begin to give way.
Life of Christ.
Don't accommodate them
this
anymore.
Life that I have is the life of God.
I have all Zoe. I don't have cancer. I have Zoe.
Life of the Holy.
I do not have ovarian cysts. I have Zoe. I do not have a tumor. I have Zoe. I do not have depression. I know what I have. It's the life of God. 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 It's working on my inside. I I am not accommodating failure. I am not accommodating that pain. I am not accommodating that disease. No more. No more. No more. Don't let the devil lie to you. Tell him no more. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know what I have. I know what I carry. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus was busy in the grave, dealing with principalities and powers, dealing with the forces of darkness.
Power is aware.
Deliverance
is aware. Direction is aware. Victory is aware. Power is aware. Healing is aware. Direction is aware. Victory is aware. Power
two
is
more minutes,
aware.
Pray, child of God. We're wrapping up, pray.
Is aware.
I'm not taking nonsense anymore.
Direction
if there's
is
anything
aware.
You are not taking, say it. I'm not taking this in my family again. I'm not taking this in my home again. No more in my high life.
Healing is away.
Satan, take your hand off.
Direction is away. Victory is away.
We pray. Now listen, this is how it is. Some people think that, oh pastor, maybe something will come upon me. Listen, the reality, Philemon, get to Philemon chapter 1 verse 6. Let me show you how it works. Philemon 1:6. Many people cannot walk in the reality. You can't walk in what you do not know. Knowledge. We activate this thing by knowledge. Now everybody, let's read it together on now. That the sharing of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Listen, another translation says the communication of your faith will be made active and alive. That means your faith can only be made active and alive when you acknowledge the good things that you have in Christ Jesus. And what is the good thing that I have in Christ Jesus? I have Zoe. I have eternal life. The Bible says that your faith will become real and alive when you acknowledge. The word acknowledge here is epignosis. You have an experiential knowledge, an awakening. It just dawns on you. I have Zoe. I can never be down anymore. I can't be depressed anymore. This is the last day. No more. You can stay here and you get angry in your spirit because knowledge has come. So you're not waiting and saying, oh, let the power hit me. No, the realization is the power. The understanding is the power. The light is the power. When you know it, everything changes. I told you, if a guy is here and is about to suffer shame and the father shows up, if he does not know that it's the father, they can still sentence him. But if the father says, that's my son, his face will be littered. Why? Knowledge, awareness that this is my father. So who will judge me? Bible says, who is he that condemns? Who is he that will judge? Is it not God that has given you the life? The Bible says that the sharing of your faith will become effective. The reason the sharing of our faith is not effective and people are not seeing the result is because we have not acknowledged. We are always saying, God, give me more, give me more. God, acknowledge the one I have given to you. I have given you eternal life. See it. Know it. Let the realization dawn on you. Sometimes you start chanting it. You start talking. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. The life of God is here. The life of God is here. The life. You're by yourself. You start hearing another voice speaking through you. No, I cannot be sick. You start hearing it. No, I can't be depressed. You start hearing it. No, I draw the bloodline. No line, no sickness in my bloodline. When you record yourself, you'll be shocked at what you said. Just because you acknowledged it. These things come by meditation, confession. You are saying it. You are saying it. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. So when they say, I will kill you, it will not make sense. You know why? Christ is my life. When they say, we are sorry to announce you are dead. I can't be dead twice. No, I come in a cabalist. Christ is my life. It's an understanding. It has to dawn. I wish I could explain this. You have to come to that realization where the light just shines and darkness is dispelled for life. Somebody under the sound of my voice, the eyes of your understanding is opening more and more. As you leave this meeting, as you're living here, between now and the end of this season, of this Easter period, may God open your eyes to deeper, deeper things. In the name of Jesus, open your eyes to acknowledge what you already have. In the name of Jesus, you have eternal life. The life inside of God. The life that makes God, God. The life of God. That's what Mavis is carrying. No wonder he said, do not be afraid of those who can destroy the body, but they do not have anything to do with the soul. Why? Because this one is different. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here now? Somebody look at us. I will finish you. Me. You can't finish me. I'm complete in Christ. Which one are you finishing? Is it the spirit, the soul, or the body? You have to explain and dissect. Because I will not allow fear. As soon as fear comes, you start jittering. You start saying, oh, I'm beg. No. You look again. I don't know which one you're talking about. Which one? Is it the body you are talking about? Because if it's this body, this is not who I am. Life enters this body. When life enters this body, it is animated. That life, can you finish that life? Can you clear that life? No way. Lift up your hands and bless God tonight and give him thanks. Give him thanks. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know who I am. I know what I have. I know the life that I carry. It is the life of God. I refuse to tolerate any weakness. I refuse to tolerate any weakness. In the name of Jesus, by faith, by faith, I live the higher life. 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 I live the higher life every day. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. No more fear. No more shame. No more limitation. No more defeat. In the name of Jesus, this life is glorious. This life is beautiful. Every day, I am going higher. I am getting better. I am doing exploits. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You're here tonight. You say, Pastor Marvis, I've not accepted Jesus into my heart. I want the life of Christ. I need that life. I've heard you talk about the life, Pastor. I need it. I need that. I want to lay down my own rotten life and take this fresh life. I want to take the life, this life that raised Jesus from the dead. I take on that life. Do you want to get born again? Can you quietly raise your hand? I'm going to pray with you this evening. I'm going to pray with you. That's the last assignment I have today tonight. I want to pray with you. If you are online, indicate. If you are on site, please indicate. Very bold. Be very bold. See, if you make a decision this Easter Friday, it's one thing you will never forget. Easter Friday 2025, you say, I made my decision. Years will pass and you will see and look at yourself and you say, of a truth, this is the best decision I ever made. Can you raise your hand confidently and say these words after me? Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today that you are my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life into my spirit. I declare that I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Can you say louder? Amen. Can you make your amen louder?
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.